And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
With the Spirit, that's right. Not all kinds of spirits, but one Spirit, Holy Spirit, that's right. Amen. Thank you, brother. The devil, the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. Did you know that? He is. This is a fallen world, and the devil is called the god of this world. Isn't that interesting? So he does have power and authority and is able to do a lot of things. When you read the news or watch the news and hear about all the bad things happening, you know that there's really somebody behind it. That's not just coincidence. It's a fallen world, but there's a god of this world who's really pulling some strings behind the curtains. Bible tells us also, 1 Peter 5:8, it says, for us as Christians who are aliens in this world, it says that we need to be very sober. In other words, serious-minded. We need to be alert. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion. And he's seeking someone to absolutely destroy and ruin their life. Now, Psalm 91, which we've been camping on for several weeks now on Wednesday nights, is a psalm that's meant to be used to worship God, and actually they were sung at one time or another. There was music to the psalms. There were songs. But the words in it are inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us the courage when the lion comes to attack you. We're to live fearless in a very fearful world. And that's very possible. And this is supposed to build you up on Wednesday nights. This is supposed to build you up for your week. I don't know what kind of week you've been having. I don't know how the enemy's been messing with your mind and how he's been dealing with you. But you ought to walk out of here stronger than you came in. Your body may be tired from work, and you're faithful. You come to church when you're tired and when you're not, and you're faithful. So I think there's extra reward in that for the effort that you make. I believe that. Psalm 91 is 16 verses that you ought to memorize. Just take a verse a week. Write a verse out on a card and just meditate on it. Don't strive hard to meditate, to memorize it with your brain. Just go over it a few times. Before you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning, pull out that card in the middle of the day if you got a moment, and just go over. You'd be surprised how easy it'll stick in your memory if you use it. Okay? Bless you. And so I want you to learn to meditate. You meditate already. Worry is meditation in the negative realm. Just thinking of something over and over and over and over again. That's what meditation is. And the Bible promises the Christian that if you'll meditate, if you'll learn to meditate on God's word, he said he'll prosper you and give you good success in this life, in everything you do. I mean, God said that. He didn't just throw that out there just to say it. He really means that he will do that. So I want to encourage you, especially before you go to bed at night, because you're very vulnerable when you sleep, to take one verse of scripture and just think about it. Think and ponder it. And the next thing you know, you're off to sleep. Let that be the last thing in your mind at night. Will you do that? Don't lie in church. Don't lie. Okay. Now, every team, every sport, like basketball, we're going to have this basketball 3-on-3 with the youth coming up here real soon. Every sport, football, basketball, soccer, anything type of game has a defense and an offense position. You have to have a good defense. You have to have a good offense. And spiritual warfare is no different. You have to have a good offense, but you have to have a good defense in spiritual warfare. Now, Most of Psalm 91 that we've looked at so far, if you started at the very beginning of Psalm 91, go ahead and get there in your Bible if you got your Bible with you, and you start to look at that, most of what you start to see are defensive type scriptures. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you'll abide under the shadow, under the protection of the Almighty. That's a defensive thing. Okay. And declare, I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's a defensive scripture, you see. And last week we talked about angels and how God will give His angels charge over you. Psalm 91, to protect you in all your ways. That's a defensive scripture. Most believers don't realize the power that God has actually placed inside them. I guarantee you, you and I, neither one of us realize the power we actually have living inside us to be able to do things. And God has placed His power in us for a reason. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is power from on high, power from God, power from heaven to be able to do things that you couldn't do without it. That's why God told the disciples, stay in Jerusalem until you've received power from on high. Don't go out and think you can just evangelize, or because you have the gift of gab and you're a good talker and all that, that you can just talk your way. No, you need power from God that comes from heaven to baptize you, to immerse you, so that when you go out, you'll see the difference. The effectiveness will be the power of God that's in you. Yeah. We've all heard stories before where all of a sudden a parent will have a child that maybe they were backing out of the driveway and the little child was playing in the driveway and they get run over by the car and the car's on the child and somehow the adrenaline kicks in that mom or that dad and they come over with supernatural strength, superhuman strength, and they're able to lift that car off of that child. You've heard stories like that. They didn't realize they had that in them until something came and attacked them or attacked one of their loved ones, and the power that was really already there inside them kicked in, and they discovered they had greater strength than they realized. When God allows adversity to come to your life or my life, it could be that He's wanting you to discover that there is something greater in you that you have yet to discover and really believe it's there. God wants us to operate in the supernatural. He wants us to be experiencing signs and wonders and miracles in our lives. That should be happening. That's not just for the Far East. That should be happening here. Last week, I shared with you about Samson. And every little child loves that story of Samson because they can just visualize it so much. But Samson was attacked by a lion. And this is in the Bible for us to ponder, to meditate, to think on. And then the scripture says in Judges 14:6, look at this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon, like a baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he tore that lion apart as if it would have been a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. And sometime later, he's walking down that same road that he walked frequently. He looks over there on the side of the road, and there's that carcass of that dead lion. And he notices that there's a swarm of bees around it. He looks a little closer, and he sees honey on the inside of that thing. Now, he does something that probably most of us wouldn't do, but he reaches over there with a stick, and he gets some honey out of it, and he eats it. And then there came a riddle that's in the Bible for us to ponder. And Samson made this riddle up. And here it is in Judges 14:14. Out of the eater came something to eat. And out of the strong came something sweet. I'd like you to say that with me. Out of the eater came something to eat. And out of the strong came something sweet. Now, why did God put that in the Bible? Dead carcass of a lion and honey inside. There's a message. There's a message in it for you and for me. Everything negative that God allows to come into your life, every lion attack that comes into your life, God has allowed it because He wants you to find that something inside that thing is sweet for you and will bring revelation into your life. Every negative thing. Now, when you start thinking this way, as a Christian ought to be thinking anyway, always staying in faith, always staying positive, then when something bad happens to you, you don't say, oh, no. Oh, and start staying all, oh, okay. It happens to me all the time. Why me? You weren't in faith to begin with. But when you're in faith and something happens like that to you, you know, okay, God's allowed this attack. It's an attack of the devil, but God's allowed it, and there's something sweet in this thing. I'm going to get out of it. Are you with me? Now, that's a faith attitude. And you got to maintain the faith attitude. The Bible calls it the fight of good faith. Okay, the good fight of faith. And that's staying positive. Now, when I'm around most of you and talking to you, you seem to be pretty positive. I just kind of wonder, are you that way all the time? I'm not all the time. But that's the part that we got to work on. We got to be a 24/7 all the time staying in faith. God is with me, and there's more for me than there are against me. And I got to believe I'm supernaturally protected. And I got to believe even if there's a sudden lion attack that it comes at me and it blindsides me, that God is way ahead of this thing. God's not caught off guard. And so when bad news comes, the first thing you got to do is watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because it'll, in the natural, it just may just slip out. And see, what's coming out of your mouth is revealing what's really in your heart. Amen. And so we look at Psalm 91 tonight, and this verse, we're on verse 13, is not a defensive verse, it's an offensive verse. So we've changed from defensive mode. Now we're in the offense. Look out. We are a force to contend with, especially when this comes out of your own mouth and you really believe it. Here's the offensive scripture. Say it out loud with me. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the cobra, the young lion, and the dragon thou shalt trample underfoot. Now, that's an offensive scripture. You have the authority, God says. You have the power. You already have the anointing to tread upon the lion when the lion attacks you. And the devil is never above you. He's below you. You have been given authority to trample on him. Now, do you remember when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two? He said these words. Look at this. I am sending you out as lambs. I'm sending you. Well, Lord, there's wolves out there. I know it. I'm sending you out there. But I'm a lamb. I know. There's cobras out there. I know. I'm sending you as a lamb among the wolves. I'm sending you out there. Have you ever seen a lamb overpower a wolf? The point is, this is supernatural authority. In the natural, you're a lamb. You're vulnerable. You'll get eat up. You won't make it. There's no way in the natural. But because this is a supernatural life you're called to, and you have supernatural power in you, and you have the supernatural words coming out of your mouth, and you have the supernatural word given to you tonight, you're equipped so that when you go out there, yeah, you're among the wolves, but they're going to be under your feet. It's supernatural. God delights in taking the weak things, the weak-looking things of the world, and making them powerful to glorify Him, and making the wisdom come out of it. That's why the story of Samson's in the Bible. It's to inspire us. Now, I remember looking in the Bible when I was a little boy. We had a Bible around the house, and I remember the pictures in it. I still have that Bible. And one of the pictures in that Bible, which I used to love looking at as a little boy, is Samson. You've probably seen that old picture. Samson, he's a great big old guy, and he's chained, and he's chained to this pole, and like he's turning, he's like a grist mill. He's a big old stone there, and he's chained to this thing. It's like he's grinding out the grain. He's grinding out the corn. Poor old Samson. Anybody seen that picture? It's kind of an old picture, been around. I should have had it brought up on that. But anyway, but he's a great big old guy, see. And anytime I envision Samson, I envision him kind of like a Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. I mean, he's a big man. He's got arms and all that. But in reality, as I thought about this today, I don't think in reality he really was a big guy. I don't think he looked like the Incredible Hulk. You know what I think he looked like? Woody Allen, Barney Fife, Pee-wee Herman. No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be serious. Because God chooses the weak things of the world to confound. If he was a great big strapping guy, just, you know, people will say, well, no wonder. No wonder he tore that line up. Look at him. He's a beast. But if he's Pee-wee Herman, you go, I don't know how that happened. That had to be supernatural. Doesn't that make sense to you? Think about that. I mean, that makes sense to me, but the pictures I've always seen of him is just, you know, big strapping guy. Here's the point. As a child of God, born above by the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, you are a lot more powerful than you realize. You are. Now, if you're born again, born from above, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, say it out loud. I'm a lot more powerful than I realize it. And I don't mean physical strength. When the disciples returned, when Jesus sent them out as lambs among wolves, when they returned, they said, Lord, man, this is so exciting. Even the demons were subject to us. We healed sick people. We raised dead. We saw miracles, signs, and wonders. And Jesus said these words. I saw Satan falling like lightning. And behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents, scorpions, and that's not the little creatures. That's a name that he's using to describe demons. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. All of it. And nothing. Come on, say it like you mean it. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that's the words of Jesus. Jesus said that. In Romans 16, verse 20, we've already read this at other nights, it says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Not the preacher's feet, not the apostle's feet, not the event, no, under your feet, child of God. You are not at the mercy of the devil's attack. You don't have to say, well, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. Oh God, you're not to live that way. The Bible declares that believers they're seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's talking about the spiritual realm. You're above them. They're not above you. How many of you could share a testimony where you experienced supernatural protection? There was no way you should have walked away from that accident. There was no way you should have been able to come out of that thing. Raise your hands, have you? You could tell the story right now, and there's no doubt about it, it was supernatural. Okay. Then you've already experienced just a little taste of it. And when you experience some sort of adversity and attack of the enemy in your life, and then you see God's supernatural, it's supposed to give you confidence. Confidence to rise up and not live in fear in this dangerous world. I mean, if you listen to the news all the time, all you're getting is negative and fearful things. Man, you won't ever fly on an airplane again if you listen to the news. You won't even walk across the street. Because all these bad things are happening. My goodness. I just better just stay at home. Look how God describes his armor that he gives every born-again child of God in Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. He says, stand therefore, he's talking to us Christians, having your loins girt about with truth. God's word, truth, is a protective, defensive piece of armor. And then the breastplate of righteousness, it's his righteousness now. He gives you this piece of armor so that you wear his righteousness. So when the devil comes and points out all your sins and all your failures, you say, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you say. I am the righteousness, and that's your defensive armor. And then it goes on to say your shoes, your feet are covered with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you are prepared at all times, whether you think you are mentally or not, you are prepared to deliver the gospel with whoever's in front of you. You're prepared. Even if it's your testimony. You say, well, I don't know enough. You have a testimony. You know one scripture, just share that scripture. You're prepared. God's armor is on you wherever you go. You have a shield of faith. It's God's faith, not yours. It's his armor. He gives you his armor. You have a shield of faith, and God says it will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen. That ain't just the preacher trying to get you excited. You have that. That's your armor God gave you. It'll quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And then you have the helmet of salvation, which is hope and confidence in God, knowing that you're saved, you belong, you're a child of God, you're identified. The spirit world knows everyone who's a child of God. Demons know. They recognize you quickly. Now, the church may not always recognize, but demons recognize you. And then all those pieces of armor are defensive. And then there's one that's offensive. Which one is it? Sword of Spirit. How do you use the sword of the Spirit? Comes out of your mouth. It is written, thus saith the Lord. I speak this scripture. That's you using this, but that's your offensive. The rest of them are defensive. You're protected. You're covered. And notice there's no armor on your backside, because you ain't supposed to run from anything. You're not to be fearful of anything. You're not to turn and run. There's no retreat. There's only advancement. And so you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that comes out of your mouth. But you've got to use this thing. You've got to speak things. Speak to the devil. Speak to the enemy. You don't get in a conversation with him. But when his thoughts come into your mind, that's an invasion of your privacy. Then you speak out of your mouth, not thoughts. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts that come to you by speaking the word. That's powerful. It's powerful. I guarantee you, it will not fail. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that, amen, amen, amen. I remember when I was working at Temple University and we left one night, leaving late, coming out of work. And it wasn't the best neighborhood to work. It was in North Philly, if anybody know. Coming out of the back door to go to my car where it was parked. And all of a sudden I realized that somebody was walking, not with me, but right behind me. And I sort of looked at the corner of my eye, and it was a gentleman. And I, in my spirit, I knew he was up to no good. And I'm saying, okay, I don't see any professors. I don't see any students. I don't see anything. And the Holy Spirit had me just to start singing to the top of my voice, yes, Jesus loves me. And start singing and did not back up, but continued to walk. And I was telling you, all of a sudden, I looked around. He was on the other side and disappeared.
And, you know, you were sensitive enough to trust the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Even when it sounded ridiculous, you don't take the Holy Spirit's talking to you into the area of the arena of reason. You don't live in the area of common sense. You'll die. You do what the Spirit tells you to do. As God led all of Israel out one time, he said, no, you're not going to send the warriors out to defeat this army. You're going to send out the choir. That don't make any sense. Yeah, so you got to decide who's going to be the Lord over your mind. Amen, sister. That's a good testimony. Amen. So we have these pieces of armor. And then, but the only offensive one we have is speaking the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. So when you look at Psalm 91, there's 16 verses. Look it over tonight before you go to sleep. Just read over it and pray it for yourself. Pray it for your loved ones. Speak it out loud. And I guarantee you the lion, the one who's like a lion, your enemy, your adversary, is going to be roaring at you this week. Maybe tonight in your sleep. He roars thoughts, fearful thoughts. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to break down. What you going to do? And to cause you to worry, he's roaring at you. And when your mind listens to his roars, you get upset. So when he's roaring at you, start fighting back with the word of God. I shall tread up on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. They're going to be under my feet. Just say that one verse. That one verse is powerful. That one verse will defeat the devil's roaring at your head. He may be roaring condemnation. Look at what you did. Look how you have been acting. You call yourself a Christian. Or you're feeling guilty because you did something you shouldn't have done and you've repented of it. There ain't nothing else you can do. You've repented of it. God's already forgiven you. So now you need, and that condemnation and guilt and stuff is still there, then you need to start speaking the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, when you say it out loud, it just takes all the steam out of the devil's attack. Takes the fire out of it. This is where your faith kicks in. So you have to know some truth. You have to know the truth of the Word of God. You're already forgiven of all your sins. Did you know that? Not just the ones you confessed. You're already forgiven even of the sins you haven't committed yet. I'm not sure you believe that. Because if you don't, you're going to get a whipping from the enemy. All your sins have been forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, you weren't even born yet. He already paid for everything you ever will do. That's not so that you can go out and, well, it doesn't matter, I can do what I want. Yeah, it does matter whatever you do. It does matter. There are consequences, but you'll never go to hell for it because it's been paid for. You're forgiven. Jesus took your punishment on the cross. And you are here to enjoy undeserved, unearned, unmerited grace without feeling unworthy. Whoever was worthy? Nobody. So, based on our performance, none of us deserve protection from God. And I used to have a religious thinking mentality that, boy, if I slipped up and said something, did something, thought something I shouldn't have done, that the next bad thing happened to me was because I had an opening in my armor there. I guess I let the devil come in and zap me. Let's see, it's based on me, my thinking, me, my performance. No. Based on our performance, none of us deserve protection. But based on what Jesus did, God tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Come boldly. Come, get it. It's available. Hebrews 4:16. So God's wrath has been completely satisfied, ladies and gentlemen. It has. It's finished. His wrath has been completely satisfied. God's not angry at you. He's not disappointed in you. If he could be disappointed in you, that would mean he didn't know everything. Are you with me? So God made you righteous in Jesus. When he put you in Jesus Christ, when he saved you, he made you righteous. He put all the righteousness you'll ever need in your account forever. Hallelujah. Here's a question. If believers have authority over the enemy, then why were the disciples martyred? Why were the disciples killed? If they had authority, it seemed like the devil had more power over them. He killed them, all of them except John. And we get a little insight. I'll close out with this. We get a little insight with this scripture. In Hebrews 11, we see the listing of all the heroes of faith. And they're not all listed by name. But it does tell us what happened here. It says, some through faith subdued kingdoms, some wrought righteousness, some obtained promises from God, some stopped the mouth of lions. Next verse. Some quenched the violence of fire, some escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, some waxed valiant in the fight, some turned to flight and to the armies of aliens. Next verse. Women received their dead raised from life again, and others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. This is saying they were offered deliverance. I'll deliver you from this if you want it, but they chose not to accept it. There's a lot of deep truth right here over death, about talking about death. See, does death have power over you? If you're afraid of it, it does. Or do you, who have faith in Christ, do you have power over death? Listen to what Paul said. He said in Philippians 1:21, he said these words, "For me, living means living for Christ. Dying's even better. But if I live, I can be more fruitful work here for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be a lot better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live." Knowing this, I'm convinced that I'm going to remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. he realized he had an assignment to make disciples and to get these churches started and get them going, and he wasn't done yet. If you have a sense in your spirit that there's more work for you to do that you haven't been done yet, then death has no power over you. You can't die. You can't. You have power over death as a believer. You have supernatural deliverance when death comes knocking on your door. If it's not time for you to go, you have supernatural power over death. You can command the spirit of death, get out of here. Get away from me. You can. Now, this may sound crazy to some of you, but I guarantee you, when you get in a situation, when the lion roars or he comes at you, if you don't believe this, you probably are a goner. But if you do believe it, you'll rise up like Samson and tear that thing apart. I wonder if we are not realizing we have more control and power over death than what we think. Jesus told us to raise the dead. You can't raise the dead unless you have power and authority. And I don't think you could raise somebody from the dead that God said, no, they finished their assignment and I'm taking them home. But if it wasn't, if it was the devil bringing the spirit of death on them, I believe you have the power and the authority to go over and raise them from the dead. I practice that. Do you? I practice it. What do you mean? Whenever somebody dies, I put my hands on them and pray to raise them from the dead. I haven't seen one yet, but I ain't quitting. I will. I'll be in the right place at the right time. And you know you have to practice before you probably see the real thing. So I'm practicing. So anybody want to fall out tonight, I'm going to be there raising you from the dead if it's not your time. Okay. If I fall out, that's what you should be up here doing for me. You don't call 911. You come up here and do what you have authority to do as a believer. Y'all look at me like I'm totally out of just, I'm an alien from another planet. Psalm 91:16, we're done with this, and it says this. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's for you. Long life. In other words, be able to finish your assignments, that you're not cut off short. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my deliverances. That's why you had those of you raise your hand and say, man, I should have been dead. No, you experienced that right there. God showed you his salvation even from death. Death does not have power over you. You have power over death if you're a believer. All of us have been given God's faith to believe God for a long and satisfying life. You can. Paul had things happen to him. Remember, when he was out ministering, one time he got shipwrecked. He's on this island with a bunch of natives, and there's a bunch of poisonous snakes around there, and he's over there picking up some sticks for a fire, just doing natural stuff. And it says a viper grabbed a hold of him and bit him in the arm. And he looked at it and shook that thing off, and he went right about his business. And all the natives saying, you wait 5 minutes, that arm's going to swell up like a balloon. He's dead. He's gone. We've seen that happen before. And did it happen? Guess he had authority over that thing. Another time, the Bible says he was stoned, and I don't mean smoking pot. He was stoned with rocks and left for dead. I personally believe he was. I believe he died. And people that stoned him believed that he was dead because they quit stoning him. And they walked away. It wasn't long after that, he got up. He was sore. I'm sure he had some bruises, some scars, and some more. But he got up, and he went on to the next town. I think he had authority over death. What do you think? I told you it was my last verse of scripture, but I guess I lied because I got one more. Hebrews 2, 14, 15. This is for you to keep. You're going to need this one day. Since, therefore, these his children share in flesh and blood in the physical nature of human beings, he, Jesus himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death, he might bring to naught and make of no effect him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Did you hear that? He took the power of death away from the devil. And also that he might deliver and completely set free all of those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. God does not want you to live in any fear of death. Why should you be afraid of something you have authority over? Dear child of God, listen to this pastor, please. When the roaring lion starts roaring in your head, remember his place is under your feet. Now, he ain't going to act like he believes that at first, but if you believe it, he'll eventually get there. And you speak this word to yourself. Let's stand to our feet and look at this together. This is a declaration. Say it out loud with me. God has declared and enabled me to tread upon the lion and the adder, the cobra, the young lion, and the dragon. I shall trample under my own feet. The God of peace, Jesus my Lord, will soon crush Satan under my feet. Now lift your hands and begin to praise God and thank him for the authority and the power that he has given you to rule and reign in this life. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have authority. Amen. Now go take care of business. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.